Let's give that to the Lord right now. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be in God's house this Sunday morning? There's a wonderful atmosphere, and it's just always such a sweet, sweet presence of God that I feel in this place. That my wife and I always comment as we drive home that there is just a beautiful presence of God that we feel here in this church. And you're blessed, amen, to be part of such a wonderful congregation, to see so many people in here worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. How many are grateful to be part of the wonderful church of the living God here today? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, it is wonderful, as Pastor Downs alluded to be here with my family. I think my wife's taking the kids somewhere now, Sunday school. But they will be over there, and it's certainly much more enjoyable traveling with them. I'm a lot more organized when my wife is there with me, although the children try to undo that organization as well. But I do want to give honor to Pastor Downs and Sister Melanie Downs, wonderful leaders of this church. You are blessed to have wonderful leadership in this church. Amen. Praise God. And it's been an absolute honor and privilege to be staying with Bishop Downs and Sister Downs. And I just, my wife and I are just so wonderfully grateful for their voice in our lives. And words don't really describe what it means to connect with them and spend time with them. So thank you so much for your time and just for your love of young people. And though I've lost my hair, still consider myself somewhat a young person. Amen. Amen. Brother and Sister Kent, our executive board members as part of this church and ministry and leadership here, saints of God, it is wonderful to be here with you, and I pray that God would move here in this service. Turn with me, if you would, we've got two portions of text here this morning. It's lovely, bro. Keep that going. It's beautiful. Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 5. Ezekiel 47 and verse 5. And we have our second portion of scripture today in John chapter 10 and verse 10, well-known portion of text. Ezekiel 47 and 5, and following that, John 10, 10. As you turn there, I give honor to my pastor, Pastor Harvey. Thank him so very much for his leadership in my life, his voice in my life, and for allowing me to be here this weekend. Just want to acknowledge him. He may never hear this, but I love him so much. Ezekiel 47, verse 5, the Bible says, "Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed." Turn now to John 10, 10. This may appear somewhat unrelated, but I pray it will make sense as we move forward here this morning. John 10, 10, the Bible reads, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But praise God for the second sentence. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Are you thankful for that second sentence in that scripture? I want to preach to you here this morning on this subject, and I believe there is an image: abundance in the deep. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Abundance in the deep." Pray with me right now. Let's lift our hands towards heaven. As Pastor Downs alluded to, this is a sign of surrender, and we do it right now. Let's lift our hands. Father, we are thankful that we can be found in your house today, Lord God. For Father, surely you can do anything in the life of every person here, Lord God, today. And we come with faith and expectation, believing that your word, Father, will find good ground in our hearts. It will challenge us, and it will change us, and it will mold us, and it will make us more like you, Lord God. We pray your anointing would sweep through this place. I pray that there would be breakthroughs in the house today. I pray for miracles, signs, and wonders following in this house here today, Lord God. I pray there would be people that will take themselves to realms of faith they've never been before, Lord God. Let your will be done in this place. We pray with faith and we pray believing in Jesus' name. Let everybody clap their hands unto the Lord right now. Praise God. Praise God. Please be seated. Abundance in the deep. Abundance in the deep. Hanakapi'i Beach, which you can see behind me here in the image, is a beach located in the Hawaiian Islands along the Kaunapali coast. It's a beach which has for a long time been a landmark site for surfers throughout the world, famous for its a surfing break and massive swells which surfers love. The hazardous coastline that allows for these favorable surfing conditions comes with one major problem. This beach, Hanakapi'i Beach, is the beach responsible for more drownings than any on Earth. It is the unique sand structures and the land formations of this famous piece of coastline that is ideal for bodies of water to erode underwater sand levels, forming narrow channels beneath the surface of the water. And as water breaks nearby to land and then must return back to sea, these eroded underwater sand channels create deadly passageways for huge bodies of water to pass through, otherwise known as a rip for those that are familiar with surf. This beach has been responsible for more drownings than any other on the face of the earth because the force of their rips is said to be strong enough to sweep people up, even people standing in the shallows. Any surf lifesaver, and there may be some here, will tell you that the safest way to avoid being caught in a rip is you're having an ability to read the surf conditions. Rips can be seen with the eye and they can be avoided. But for those that cannot read surf conditions, the safest place to be is in the shallows when you're in the ocean. Because a rip in ankle deep water is not as dangerous as a rip in waist deep water, which is not as dangerous as a rip in chest deep water, because the deeper we go, in the more exposed we become to the force of that current. Indeed, lives have been lost, especially in this location, because people took on the dangerous surf conditions. And despite the warnings and the advice to stay away, it was the thrill of the ocean that was too appealing for people to refrain from, and the pursuit of what was exciting and felt good despite the warnings of its danger were the very thing that caused such tragic life to be lost. Now, I appreciate we are here at a church this Sunday morning, and you did not come here to get an education on reading surf conditions. But I am here to remind you here today, the Church of the Living God, that this same very principle does apply in the kingdom of God, where people choose to ignore the warnings and ignore the signs and ignore truth in favor of the things of this world and the lusts of the flesh. We live in a world that allows themselves, and I'm preaching to young people here, I think I mentioned this on Friday night, we allow ourselves to be swept up by the currents of carnality and the currents of earthly desires. The word of God is clear today when it tells us that there is an enemy of our soul who will not rest until our salvation is in tatters, until we have abandoned our faith and walked away from the things of God and placed our carnality above the kingdom and flesh above the spirit. We read it earlier. The Bible says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Praise God. We know that is true. He comes to steal that which is eternal for that which is temporary. The enemy comes to steal that which is pure for that which is evil. He comes to steal that which is spirit for that which is flesh. But I thank God this
wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning that even though there is an enemy of our soul that wars against our salvation, there is also a lover of our soul that fights for your salvation. Can someone say praise the Lord? He fights for you and he fights for me. He stands in the gap for his sons and his daughters. And how do I know that to be true? Because the very next sentence in John 10:10, and we read it before, says this: "But I have come that you may have life and that you may have that life more abundantly." Praise God. That ought to excite you here today, that though we may live in this carnal and sinful world, there is a lover of your soul that holds more power, praise God, than the force of darkness. And the lover of that of your soul here today, he truly fights for you. He loves you. He wants to spend eternity with you here today, praise God. The Bible says that you are in this world, but not of this world. The Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I would remind you here today that you are in this world, but you are not made for this world's pleasure. We are made for his good pleasure, praise God. Bible says that this life is but a vapor compared to eternity, which means that we have all of eternity to spend worshiping the King of Glory. The Bible says in heaven, the hallelujahs are going to roll like thunder. That's why when you're feeling discouraged in this world, in this life, you want to remind yourself that we are living in a vapor compared to eternity, and I'm not going to turn my back on the things of God. I'm not going to walk away from my relationship with God because of some battle in this vapor, but I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to yet be faithful. I'm going to keep turning up to the house of God because I am looking at my life through the lens of eternity. Can someone say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The first sentence in John 10:10 speaks of the work of the flesh. The second sentence in John 10:10, the work of the Spirit. The first sentence is the consequence of giving our life over, giving the reins over to the enemy of our soul. The second sentence is the result, praise God, of allowing God to be God in our life. That's why church pursuing the Spirit of God is so very important, because the Bible says that the flesh leads to death, but the Spirit will lead us to abundant life in Christ. We are pursuers of the Spirit. And that sounds like an easy decision to make. Who would choose flesh that leads to death over Spirit that leads to life? It sounds like such an easy decision for us to make. Of course we would choose to pursue after the Spirit. Why would anybody not make that decision? And as you know, living in this world, there are the majority making that decision to pursue flesh, which leads to death. And the answer as to why so many do that, I believe, is because they don't understand what the Word of God is saying when it speaks of abundant life. See, abundance is not seasonal possessions. Abundance is not riches of man. I don't believe there is anything wrong with having success in this life, but if that is what we are pursuing, as our brother shared earlier, that scripture was a confirmation. If that is what we are pursuing, it will never truly satisfy your soul, because carnality can never truly be satisfied. There is no causal relationship between what you have and how happy you are, how fulfilled you are, how much abundant life you enjoy. And if you don't believe me, you look at the number of millionaires and billionaires out there taking their life on a daily basis. This is not the source of fulfillment. But here's what I believe the Word of God speaks to. The more abundantly speaks to having a superabundance of a thing. Abundant life refers, therefore, to having life in its abounding fullness. That's why I believe the Bible says in God, we can have fullness of joy. And in God, we can have fullness of peace. And in God, we can have fullness of life. That's why we as a people of the living God must set our minds not on pursuing the flesh, but on pursuing the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, Spirit. Pursuing the Spirit, Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's why if we need anything here today, what we need is to be a people who are full of the Spirit of God. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost here today. Praise God. Amen. How many here know that the Holy Ghost is not just for your salvation? The Holy Ghost is not just so we have a passageway to spend eternity with Him. But I believe the Holy Ghost is something we can have that we might walk in power and we might walk in truth and we might walk in spirit, even despite the fact that we live in a carnal and sinful world. That's why we can live out there but still have fellowship with Jesus Christ, because we might be walking in this world, we might be robed in flesh, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I got the Spirit of God inside of me. Amen. That's why we can be people of the Spirit, even though we live in this dark and carnal world. The Spirit of God. And we know what it's like, even as people of faith, what it's like to walk in flesh and walk in spirit. How many here can honestly say there have been times they've walked through this door on a Sunday morning walking in flesh, but you leave here walking in spirit and you know how different it feels? You come through that door holding grudges. You come through that door feeling wounded. You come and spend some time. You interact with the Spirit of God, and then you leave this place and you have it inside of you to love even those people that have wronged you. That is replacing flesh with the Spirit, praise God. Some of us, we come through that door on a Sunday morning carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. We are discouraged. We are tired. We are fatigued. Yet when we spend time in the house of God, when we are refreshed and refilled with the Spirit of God, we leave this place feeling lighter. That weight is off of our shoulders. If you hear anything here today, hear this. We need to be full of the Spirit of God. We must be pursuers of the Spirit of God, because when we are full of the Spirit of God, we are changed. Amen. We may look the same, we may talk the same, we may sound the same, we may walk the same, but we are not the same creature when we are walking in the Spirit of God. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord right now? That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that means you and me as well. We can be in the house of God, living for God for 20 years. We must be a new creature. Yeah, we can come in like the old man, but we must leave a new creature. Praise God. If we need anything today, it's to understand that our lens must change. Our lens. From a lens of flesh to a lens of the Spirit. I don't wear glasses here, but I've worn sunglasses, and sometimes on my sunglasses you get a big dirty scratch right in the middle of your lens. How many know what that feels like? Brand new pair of Ray-Bans and you get a scratch. Child steps on them or something. It's devastating, you know. But when you have the scratch right in that lens, it affects the way you see everything. Everything that you look at, you are seeing through a lens that is negatively impacted by that scratch. Can I tell you, that's exactly what it's like when we're walking in flesh. The way we view the world is impacted because the lens that we are looking through is the lens of the flesh. It affects the way we think about people. It affects the way we treat people. It affects the way we interact with the world, because our lens is a lens of the flesh. But I believe here today that God wants us to have a lens of the Spirit. The lens with which we view this world is the lens of the Spirit of God. And I promise you, if you can walk with that lens every single day, you wake up and say, Lord, let the lens be the lens of the Spirit. It will change the way you treat people. It will change the way you deal with offenses. It will change the way you deal with setbacks and discouragement. Why? Because my lens is the lens of the Spirit. We must do that. We must have the lens of the Spirit. Bible says in Romans 8 and 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Flesh cannot please God. Let me say that again. Flesh, it cannot please God. It doesn't matter how productive that flesh is. It doesn't matter how talented that flesh is. It doesn't matter how polished that flesh is. If it is flesh, it is not pleasing unto God. But here's what pleases God. People that walk in the Spirit, that flow in the Spirit. Can I tell you right now, we live in a world that is so fixated on attention and visibility and looking good. I'll say this right now. If you walk in the flesh and look good, that is not pleasing to God. I would rather be somebody that is anonymous in the sight of man, but I am walking in the Spirit. I want to encourage somebody right now. You feel insignificant. You feel like you're a nobody. You feel like you've got no talent. But if you walk in the Spirit, you are pleasing unto God. According to the currency of the kingdom, you are successful if you can walk in the Spirit. Praise God. Don't you dare feel discouraged. If you feel like you got nothing to give God, if you are somebody that walks in the Spirit of God, you are a success in the kingdom of God. Amen. I'd rather be anonymous in the sight of man, but full of the Holy Ghost, than have talents and abilities and possessions, but walk in the flesh. It is better for your eternity that nobody knows who you are, but God knows who you are, because you have a relationship with Him. Praise God. That is better for your eternity than if everybody knows who you are, but you are led of the flesh. We must be led of the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor one more time. Led of the Spirit. Amen. Because it's in this place here that we can truly find peace and joy. And I'll say this to you as well. Even it doesn't matter how long you've been living for God. We must constantly, deliberately find that place of the Spirit. You know, I was growing up, I was originally from Queensland, and I spent weekdays with my mother in Brisbane, south of Brisbane. But I would spend my weekends with my father. He lived on the Sunshine Coast in Caloundra. If you've been up there, that's a beautiful part of the world, surrounded by beautiful beaches. And so growing up in the summer months, if there was even just a little piece of blue sky, my father would pack everything up and we'd go to one of the few different favorite beach locations that we had. And I remember distinctly that as a young boy, I kind of just literally wouldn't even put sunscreen on. As soon as we hit that sand, I would run into the ocean. I'd go for a swim. I'd jump in there and I'd surf a few waves and I'd look up to try and find my father. I look up in the sand and I could not see him. As a young boy, I would be in a panic and I would be scanning the beach to try and find him, and I'd only to realize that he was about 50 meters up the beach. Just in a few short waves, it was amazing how far the current took me from where I entered into the water, and my father would be concerned and he would set a new rule for me that every time you catch a wave, you got to look up and then recalibrate and find where we are and come back to standing in front of where we had set up on the beach. And can I tell you that it's exactly the same in our relationship with God. Abundant life is a life of constant course correction. Abundant life is a life of saying, wow, the currents of this world have already taken me so far. I need to reconnect myself to the Spirit. Spirit of God. I got to reconnect myself to the Word of God. I got to get into the house of God and feel the presence of Jesus, because I have felt the currents of this world sweeping me away from where I need to be. If we want a life of abundance, we can find it with a life of constant course correction, to continually try and find and pursue the Spirit of God. You know why? Our default is not the Spirit. Our default is this dirty flesh inside of us. That's why a life of constant course correction is a life of dying to the Spirit, to the flesh, and pursuing after the Spirit of God. Because the enemy of our soul, as the prince of this world, cannot be relied upon to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will not just happen when you live in this world. Your schools can't give it to you, young people. Governments won't deliver it to you. Your workplaces won't shape it and won't encourage you to walk in the Spirit. We will walk in the Spirit when we make a daily decision. Everyone say daily. To deny our flesh and pursue the Spirit. It doesn't matter how talented you are, how many instruments you can play, we are all flesh, which means we will always naturally fall back to that old man. But if we can find it in ourselves to dying to that flesh and chasing after the Spirit, you are giving yourself the best chance to live a life of abundance. Jesus says these words. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will lose his life, will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, they shall find it. If you want to find life here today, if you want to live your best life here today, I've come to tell you, it is not to satisfy your flesh. Your best life is a life walking in the Spirit of God and pursuing the presence of God and living a life of constant course correction and saying, nope, that's the flesh. I'm going to step back into the Spirit. Amen. You won't accidentally find the will of God. You won't just fall into a life of abundance. It will come when we wake up out of bed and we remind ourselves each and every single day that I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. I am robed in flesh, but I can't walk in flesh. We have to have a made up mind every single day that I'm going to live in the Spirit on this side of eternity. Amen. On this side of eternity, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and flow in the Spirit and live in the Spirit on this side of eternity. John 10:10, it tells us of a war taking place, a choice that will take us to two very different places. The first sentence in John 10:10 is a very different place to the second sentence in John 10:10. One location we will naturally find because our flesh will desire it. The other location, it must be chosen. Everyone say chosen. Jesus says, choose this day whom you will serve. And I want to encourage you here today, and I'm biased towards young people because I've spent most of my time ministering to them, but this applies to everybody. That this is an all-in faith. It's an all-in faith. Christianity is not the type of faith that you can just slap onto the edge of your life and hope that it helps you walk and navigate through this life. We cannot treat our relationship with God as some type of additive to what we are pursuing. The Word of God teaches us that He must be the center of our life. Everyone say center. He's not designed to be the edge of our life. We don't serve a part-time God. We don't walk in a part-time spirit. The Bible says that we serve an omnipotent, omnipresent God whose Spirit reigned before the foundations of this earth. So as I come to a close and I will invite the musicians to come, I have a question for each and every saint of God in this place. And here is the question. Who's willing to make a decision today? A decision to choose abundant life through His Spirit over emptiness in the flesh. A decision to choose victory in Him over loss. A decision to choose peace over fear. A decision to choose joy over sorrow. And I'll tell you right now that it can all be found when flesh dies and spirit rises. Zechariah 13 and verse 9, it says this. It says, I will bring one third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined. Please listen to these words. And test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. 1 Peter 1 and 7 in the New Testament. The Bible says, and this portion always ministers to me, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How many love that scripture here today? I want to tell you here today that God, He truly wants you to live a life of abundance in Him. The hardest part of this reality is that for us to find abundance in Him, even God will expose us to situations and expose us to trials and expose us to problems and expose us to conflicts and expose us to people, praise God, and setbacks and disappointments. He will expose us to those things. Why? That we might find abundant life. Why is that? Why must He expose us to these things for us to find abundant life? The answer is because these things cause damage to our flesh. These experiences, lift your hand right now if you've had some battles even since you've come to know God. Hands up nice and tall. Who's gone through some of their most difficult trials since they have come to know the name of Jesus Christ? I have. I've got a word for you here today if your hand was lifted, and the word is this, that God did not allow for that to do damage to your salvation. He allowed for that to do damage to your flesh. Why? Because when our flesh is weakened, the spirit man inside of us rises up. And when we can learn to walk in the Spirit, that is when we, according to the word of God, can truly find abundant life in Him. So your situations, church, don't feel like it's God rejecting you, turning His back on you. No, it means He has confidence in you, like He had in Job, to say that, yes, this will do damage to their flesh, but I know the finished product that's going to come out the other end of that, and that finished product is going to be somebody who will walk in abundant life. Why? Because their flesh is wounded, but their spirit is strong. We need to strengthen the spirit man inside of us here today. Amen. Walking in the Spirit. And the irony here today is this, that the safest place to be in the ocean is where? It's in the shallows. The safest place for you to be in the ocean where that you're exposed to currents and rips is the shallows. But can I tell you this here today? The shallows do not work in the kingdom of God. The shallows do not work in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the safest place that you can be are in the very depths. The deepest that you can go in the kingdom of God is the safest place that you can be. Why? Because the deeper we go, the less control that we have. And when we give God control over our life, we will be led of the Spirit, praise God, into places of abundant life. How many here are made up in their mind, Lord, I want to be in the depths of the kingdom. I want to go as deep as I can go. go. I'm no longer going to stand in the shallows and dip my feet in the water. I need to be in the depths of the kingdom of God, as deep as I can go, where I can't take control anymore. When you're in the depths of the kingdom, you aren't controlling anymore. God is God of your life when you are in the depths of the kingdom. I want to be in the depths. Let's stand right now in the presence of Jesus. I want to be in the depths of the kingdom, because when I'm in the depths of the kingdom, we serve a God that is in control. Ezekiel 47 and verse 8 says this: "Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, it shall live." It shall live. How many here want to be led of the Spirit? Led of the river to a place that takes us to abundant life. Lord, lead me, praise God, to a place of restoration. Lead me, oh God, by the Spirit to a place of healing here today. And I want to tell you, there is healing in the house of the Lord here today. But if we are going to find healing, it won't be in ankle deep water. If we are going to find healing, it's going to be because we give every single part of our life to the things of God. Amen. That we stop taking control and we give control over to the Master. Praise God. Because I'm telling you, when He has control of your life, you will be led to the place of healing and restoration and abundant life. How many believe that here today? Lord, take me out of the shallows and take me into the depths. So let's pray right now. Lift your hands with me if you would. As we lift our hands as a sign of surrender and we pray, I want you to think about even the battles you have gone through. I want you to think about the seasons of your life where you wondered, Lord, are you even there anymore? God, do you hear my prayers? God, are you alive? Are you moving? And I want to remind you here as we pray that He never allowed for that for your destruction. He allowed for that for your flesh destruction, because when our flesh is hurting, we are forced to lean upon the Spirit. So let's pray right now as we lift our hands. Would you pray with me in this place? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. We stand humbly in your presence, O Lord Father. God, I pray for every soul under the sound of this voice, O Lord God, that's walked through some difficult days and slept through some lonely nights, O Lord God. I pray for every single person here, Lord, that you would help them move out of the shallows into the depths of you, Lord God. I pray that every situation and every offense and every setback and every disappointment and every battle and storm of life that they have passed through, Lord God, I pray that you would use it even right now for their benefit, Lord God, that it would cause them to move deeper into you, into the depths of the Spirit, Lord God, into a new depth of relationship, that they would lose control, but that you would take control, Lord God, and you would lead us to a place of healing here today, and a place of restoration here today, and a place of newness of life here today, Lord God. I pray every person here would walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and chase after the Spirit and flow in the Spirit, Lord God, and you would be real to them here right now, Lord God. I pray over every life here today that they would make a decision. Lord, I'm stepping out of the shallows. I'm going to stop taking control of my life. And Lord, you can be Lord of my life. And I know when you are Lord of my life, you will lead me to a place of ultimate healing and restoration and abundance of life. If you believe that, would you clap your hands unto the Lord right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. And so here today, here right now, there truly is healing and restoration. Do you believe that? Yeah, we didn't come here today out of some religious obligation. We didn't come here today, hopefully, because mom or dad told you. We came here today because you believe that God is real. And if you believe that God is real, you must believe that He is supernatural. And if you believe He is supernatural, you must believe He can touch your life here today. If you believe that, would you lift your hands right now towards heaven? Hallelujah. I believe that He is a living, all-powerful God. And so right now, I want to make an invitation to as many souls as have faith to take a step from their seat, and I'm going to come down first because I need the Lord to touch my life, touch my spirit. I want to invite some people that are going through battles and difficulties. I want to invite people, no matter what season of life they are in, to take a step out from their chair. Let's come down to this altar right now as a sign of faith, as a sign that, Lord, I'm going to let you take control of my life. That's it. There are some people coming down right now. Let's do it. If you want the Lord to lead you by the rivers to a place of healing, let's do it right now. This altar is a place where God can move. That's it. Come on. We are people of faith here today. We don't just stand in the house of God and wait for the final prayer and go home. No, we believe that God will move. We believe that He will intervene. We believe that He will touch our life and take us to a place of abundance here today. And as our worship leaders and musicians and singers lead us in a time of praise, I wonder if you would just connect with Jesus right now. Lord, we are not people of the flesh. Let us be people of the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's allow Him to minister to us right now. We thank you, Lord God, for you're a powerful Savior. You're a loving God. Oh, Jesus, take us to a place of the depths.